Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things.
Tis the day.
Tis the day, tis the season. It's not tis the season, it's too early for the season to haul out the holly.
Dun, 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 dun.
Kevin literally looks like I'm a crazy person, and he's just, Kevin.
Talk about improv, Rob.
Sometimes Kevin looks like he's doing community service. Like he's been forced to be here. God
no,
bless you.
I love
you.
It.
How are you?
Good. Really good. The life is good. The weather is beautiful. I'm going to go away, or I am away when this is released. I'm gone from
New
York.
Tell us the project that you're working on. We're both working on stuff. Tell us what you're working on.
Yeah, I'm doing a new musical at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. Get this, friends. It's a one-woman book musical, which... Exactly.
Shocked.
Like, and when I say book musical, it is written. I mean, there are songs that are for other characters. She sings. This one woman, Carissa Pertels, plays. It's called My 80-Year-Old Boyfriend. It's based on her own personal experience being friends with this octogenarian and their relationship and how what she learns from him and maybe he learns from her.
Now, the show I know is called My 80-Year-Old Boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Is that really it? That they dated?
They didn't date. No, they were just they're winking at that part. I mean,
okay.
Were just, she's married, and
I mean, who cares? But
he was an editor of a really big fashion magazine, they just took to each other. They met on the street, and then they became very, very good friends. And he sort of inspired her to make a little musical out of it.
How sweet!
It's actually very, very well done.
Do you know the opening date off the top of your head, or we can post information?
I want to say it's the very last week of April through May. So 4 weeks.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I, you know, I can't think of any other, like the Mad Woman of Central Park West. I'm trying to think of one.
Which I love.
Even that has many different people writing the score, not just one. And I can't think of a real like song and dance, but the first act is just singing. The second act is. And so, hey, listeners, can you think of a book musical that is a one person show? I have yet to find like a true original musical.
Not a cabaret, not a review.
That is not a review. That is an all one composer, one writer, and a book writer integrated, scene into song, all of that.
One person?
One person. I'm on stage, but I don't do anything. Like I'm just music director.
I can't think of one.
It's interesting, and it works. It has so much heart, and it's. I'm excited. I think
amazing.
It's very well done. So yeah, that's what I'm going to go work on and do. What about you, my friend?
I am getting ready. Got some fun stuff happening at 54 Below.
Yes.
Can't announce anything yet because it isn't confirmed, but we got some fun stuff happening.
Can't wait to hear about that.
But it's going
to
be revisiting some wonderful musicals from the 70s.
Ooh.
Getting those up in concert because I feel like some of them have slipped away. And so I think it'll be nice to...
It's a transitional era.
Yeah, it really was.
Was.
It really was a transitional era.
People still trying because there was that throwback, you know, your favorite musical, No No Nanette, you know, and Irene, and those kinds of shows, which was a favorite thing a little while ago. But then Sondheim, shoot,
it's always a hard. When I teach musical theater, I always feel like the 70s get to a point where like it's like herding cats in terms of trying to teach them
like. because there's, you can't say there's set rule, like, because every, the question is like, when did the golden age end or whatever? Was it hair? Was it 1964? Was it 1970? You know, and you're right, because that era, there are lots of shows that you, they go back in the older days, and then there's the oh, this is definitely future music.
Oh my God, because, you know? I mean, think about, I mean, first of all, there's that great book by Ethan Mordden, One More Kiss.
Love that. Oh, love his
one
books.
One last kiss. One last kiss.
One more kiss.
Kiss. One More Kiss is from Follies.
One More Kiss, yeah.
One Last Kiss is from Bye Bye Birdie.
Good job.
Sorry about that.
No,
Oh, give me one last kiss. Oh, one more time. I love it.
That was good.
Thank you. Yeah. That's, I should be Conrad Birdie.
Yes, please.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Yes. Production where I'm Conrad Birdie.
I would love that.
God bless you, my friend. But it's hard because in One Last Kiss that he... One More Kiss. One More Kiss by Ethan Mordden, which is a book about the 1970s musicals. I think he covers it really brilliantly. But like you said, there are no, it's like all the rules go out the window because you have things like, we have the nostalgia craze.
Totally.
With Grease and No.
And you could say ends with 42nd Street in 1980.
And ends
you know
with
42nd
like Street.
Caps off that.
You've got the Sondheim-Prince collaborations, right? Then you have people like Jerry Herman and Kander and Ebb still trying to to get like that golden age feel in there.
Chicago,
the Grand Tour, and Mac and Mabel. And then you have things which this is what I find really interesting is that because we've have, you know, I think pop culture sort of goes hand in hand in all this, because you're having things on television and new voices being explored on television, which we hadn't seen before, like All in the Family or Good Times or feminist shows like Mary Tyler Moore and Maude, that's going to dribble over into the theater. So you're going to have things like Raisin and Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death and Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope and A, My Name is Alice and... I'm getting my act together and taking it on the road. So it's literally boy meets boy. It's like a little like we're throwing everything.
I love my wife.
We're throwing everything up in the air, guys. Yeah. Some will stick, some won't. You'll have things like that. Then you'll have traditional things like Annie. I'm fascinated by that decade.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And the different sounds of that decade, too. Company, when I mean, those orchestrations, are you kidding me? Even Promises, Promises. Like, you get a little more, there's a more whimsy, and there's more, even like the disco kind of sound as well. And like all of that, like more electronic sounds are coming into recordings, into shows.
And think about, you know, you can go down the street, you can see something like Got to Go Disco. Or which is all disco based, or you can walk down the street, you can see Annie, which is a very traditional sounding.
Carmelina with score.
Oh, Carmelina,
because you have these new composers are writing, but then like Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, rock, Jesus Christ Superstar, but then you still have your traditional musical theater writers, you're right, and which died out in the 80s, and then Julie Stein doing Red Shoes in the 90s. I mean, like that era of composers definitely faded away.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the 70s is the last real decade of it.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I think that, so if you get a chance to read Ethan Mordden's book on the 1970s, God, I'd love to get him as a guest.
Yes, definitely.
He would be so much fun to talk to.
He wrote a book for every decade of theater history, and you get his opinions and criticisms, but he is so well researched, these books, that you are invariably going to learn something in a very entertaining way. He's a very good writer.
And I think what's so cool, and I think you had mentioned this on one of your previous My Favorite Things, is the book instigates debate because he's a very opinionated person, and he has no qualms about I think in one of his things he talks about Zorba, and I think he just says, like, Zorba is a steaming pile of shit.
He hates it.
Yeah. He hates Zorba, which is great. You have your opinion. But I think it's nice. It doesn't feel dry because so many of those books feel very dry.
Almost academic in a way.
Opened on this date and it starred this person.
Yeah, and
the critics
I enjoy those books
it.
Too.
Yeah.
Like
so
the,
do I.
The Borden or whatever, you know, like the, you know, the,
oh, the Gerald Borman stuff.
Yeah, the encyclopedia books, you know, which are factual and yet great visions. But I want to know some gossip too.
I want to know the gossip. And also he saw so many of those. It's so nice to get an opinion of this is how I perceived what I saw. So I really like those books. But the 1970s, crazy, crazy decade for musical theater.
Well, I'm excited for that. That's
one that's always hard for me to teach. It's also the time when the Schoenfelds and the Jacobs take over.
These are the theater producers,
And the ticket prices start going up. You know, groups are being phased out of going to the theater. They can't afford the theater anymore. So that's why we have a big film and TV boom. So it's really interesting. It's a really, really interesting.
So there's going to be a concert, maybe ostensibly.
Ideally, what I'm hoping that'll be three shows from the 70s
awesome.
That don't get done so much anymore. and celebrating those, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the nice thing is in addition to that, also at 54, we have people like a very great listener of ours, Stephen Carl McCaslin. He's doing the Nick and Nora concert that I'm going to be appearing in. He does a lot.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're going to be appearing in it?
I'm narrating.
Yes, you guys. I always try to get Rob on stage. I always want him to do it because he's so good.
Oh,
Rob
Kevin.
Never wants to do it. And now he's like, no, the audience wants you.
Oh, thank you. Jesus,
they
thank
do.
You.
It's so, you're so funny.
Oh, God. Oh, thank
so
you
glad.
For thinking
That's wonderful
so.
News. So you're going to kind of narrate and are you going to write the like in between?
No, Stephen is what Stephen is doing with it. You know what? I don't want to say what he's doing with it because I don't know. If he's announced
fine,
it yet.
Fine.
Steven has come up with a really clever way of doing Nick and Nora in concert.
And this is with original cast.
Oh, it's Barry Boswick
and
Joanna Gleason.
Yeah.
It's going to be really... And Chris Sarandon.
And when is this?
May 2nd at 54 Below. Two Excellent. Concerts, 7 o'clock and 9:30. I think it's going to be really lovely. I think it's probably going to sell out. But no, I'm not writing anything. I'm just narrating it.
Right.
And he's come up with a really clever way of doing it. And like I said, I feel I don't want to announce it and then be like, it's a secret. But it's a very smart way of doing it. But he does shows like that as well, which is the neglected things that, you know, maybe an encore isn't going to pick up.
Right.
But we can do it in concert. So I'm looking for at 370 shows. I hope we get to do them.
Love
because
it.
I love the 70s.
70 girls, 70.
He's doing that.
I love 70 Girls 70.
With Jim Brochu.
Oh.
And Lonnie Ackerman.
Of course. Oh, that's
some of our former guests.
Oh, that's a nice little...
Right?
Yeah.
I love 70 Girls 70.
70 Girls 70. Say Yes.
Okay, best rendition of Say Yes I've ever heard in my life.
What?
Was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Sung by Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life.
Oh.
But we also know her from Little Abner. We know her from The Hair Movie. Mm-hmm. Really... brilliant rendition. I think it might be. I don't think it's on YouTube.
If, oh, man.
It's so good. Say yes.
Thank you.
Girls. Life keeps.
I knew you were going to throw a little like, yep.
Tootie, back me up on the accordion. But I love Say Yes. I also love 70 Girl 70.
Mm-hmm.
I also love.
Your favorite thing?
My favorite thing.
Ooh, what is it? What is it? What is it?
Late 70s?
Mm-hmm.
No, not late 70s. The 80s. Why did I say late 70s?
You've been on an 80s kick lately.
I have been. You know why? I'll tell you why. I'm reading this great book by a guy named Dan Dietz, who the books are very expensive, so save up for them. They're decade books, and they're called The Broadway Musicals of the 1980s, 90s, 2000s. And
have I never heard of them?
You know what's so weird? They're not available on in the drama bookshop. They're not available at any bookstore. They're huge reference books. So I got the Kindle version. It was $125. It was worth it, though. And he goes decade by decade, and he lists all the shows that opened, all the cast, the song list, a little description, and then all the critics' reviews of what they thought of the musicals.
Wow.
So that's why I've been on an 80s kick lately, because I'm reading the book. But he has one all the way up until the 2000s to 2010.
What's his name again?
Dan Dietz. D-I-E.
How in the world have I T-Z? Never heard of this?
Yeah, Dan Dietz.
Dietz.
See?
Wow.
That's the cover.
I'm completely... Oh, it switched.
Oh, switched.
I am completely shocked.
Yeah,
I can't believe I didn't know.
Yeah, and what's really cool is he also talks about shows that were at the Met. So like, what shows were happening at the Met at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into so anyway, that's why I think I'm on an 80s kick.
Fair. Okay, cool. So
but
your show is
I need to save up some more money to get the other books.
Right? Jeez. I know, that's quite a...
Yeah,
that
pricing.
Sounds very like a college textbook almost.
Yes.
It seems like a reference.
Yeah.
Well, reference
it's
book.
A great reference book.
So is it in the mid-80s or early 80s?
Early 80s.
Okay. I just watched the 1980 Tony Awards because that's the kind of person I am that at midnight at night when I have nothing else to do.
We're going the year after 81.
Oh, boy. So not merrily.
Not merrily.
Gosh. Boy, the early 80s were a weird
right.
Drought.
And this Help show is out. This show is weird, but I think there's a lot in the score to recommend a good listen to it again.
Okay. All right.
I'll give you some hints.
Okay, good.
It's based on a movie
okay.
from the 1940s.
Mm.
And the movie originally starred Katherine Hepburn
oh.
and Spencer Tracy.
Oh.
But when it comes to Broadway, they're replaced by Harry Gordino and Lauren Bacall.
The Candor and Ebb.
Yeah, it's Candor and Ebb score.
My favorite.
So close.
Woman of the Year.
Woman of the Year.
My favorite year, Kevin. Come on.
No, Woman
With
of the
famous
Year.
Famous Ethel Merman, Leroy Reams story.
Which we've heard many times.
On this podcast.
On this podcast.
From the horse's mouth, too.
From the horse's mouth.
And we've heard it, actually, that story from people who had heard it, and then we still heard it from Leroy. Because other people had talked about it. That story was a famous story. Just in a nutshell, guys, two-sentence story. Ethel Merman famously goes to see Bacall opening night in This Woman of the Year. Everyone knows Bacall. Let's just say she doesn't have the best voice in the world. I think we're allowed to say that. Finesse, let's say. And Bacall, as soon as Bacall starts singing, Merman famously in the second row of the theater just goes, "Oh, Jesus Christ!"
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, and she puts her hands to her ears.
Yes. But Leroy Reams was with her. Like, he was her date that night.
And what Kevin just told in 60 seconds, Leroy stretches to 60 minutes, which is not a bad...
60 minutes? It was like 2 hours.
That's not a bad
a
thing.
Cocktail later.
That's not a bad thing. That's what I love about Leroy, is he's a storyteller.
Oh, he is the... Yes.
Because the story's kind of funny. She goes, she sees the show. Woman sings a note, and she goes, "Oh my God, that's so bad." That's the story, right?
Yeah, that's it. And
Leroy
could hear, because it's Merman.
Makes it into an hour long.
Oh yeah, there was a
epic adventure.
Going down
there was
the street,
a parade. They were running late.
Limo,
it was summertime.
Hot.
It was August.
God.
It was humid. So yeah, but God bless Leroy Reams, because what we just told in 60 seconds, he can do in 60 minutes, and I think that's an art.
That might be on either part one, part two, or part three of our Leroy Reams, only three-parter we ever and will ever have.
It was a three-parter.
Guys, you know what we're talking about. This is like from our, any longtime listeners will know, we did a three-part Leroy, which don't know if we needed three parts, but... that's just the stuff that we edited. I mean, like, there was so...
I don't know.
Went back twice, you guys. We spent, I think, 5 hours there the first time.
Yeah, we never told the backstory of the story.
We never did. And we would stay there five, and then we had to, because we only made it to applause in those 5 hours.
No.
We didn't even make it to applause.
The first time? No, we didn't even make it to applause. What we do is when we contact our listeners,
right,
we say, listen, we need 90 minutes of your time.
Our interviewer.
Oh, sorry, my
our
apologies. Sorry. When we get our contact our subject, we always say we need 90 minutes of your time, right?
Yes, that's right.
We sat with him for 3 hours, and he hadn't even mentioned applause yet, which is his first Sweet Charity's his first Broadway show. We literally barely got to Sweet Charity.
We got to like 1970.
And we were like, we need to come back.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and we have lives.
He was so gracious, because he's like, "Where are you guys going? It's cocktail hour." And his husband appeared holding martinis.
That's a true story.
And then
it's so old school.
We started at 5 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we were like, "We need to leave." And he kept us there from 5 o'clock till 1 a.m.
Yeah. True story.
And then we came back the next weekend, and the same thing happened all over again.
Except I think we tried to start earlier.
Which we tried to start earlier, but we still didn't get out of there until like 1, 2 in the morning. And I'm not going to lie, we were wasted.
It's amazing.
It was amazing, because he showed us, first of all, he has a guest book in his house that he's kept since they bought the house in the late 60s, early 70s. And so we were leaving, and he's like, "Oh, you have to sign our guest book." You open up the guest book, and you're like signing next to Bob Fosse's signature. You're signing next to like Hal Prince's signature. You're going, "My God, like the stories." So my feeling is I'd love to get him on a podcast where he only talks about old Hollywood, because he used to run that old Hollywood cruise. And he's got real good stories. Remember, he mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you were on your third martini at that point.
So or I was saturated.
Went over
at
your
that
head.
Point. I was like, I'm fresh up. Okay, so getting back to your favorite thing, my friend. Sorry.
So Woman of the Year
is great.
Like you said, it's Candor and Ebb. Mm-hmm. And they also were going through they weren't going through a dry spell. Why was I gonna say that? I was thinking of somebody else. Last big thing they had done was they had done Chicago, then they had done The Act.
Oh, right, The Act, yeah.
They wrote New York, New York for New York, New York. Uh-huh. And so Woman of the Year is, I think it's a really great Candor and Ebb score. I really do. The book is by Peter Stone. For those of you who aren't familiar with the plot of Woman of the Year, Lauren Bacall plays Tess Harding, who is a news reporter. She's supposed to be like a Barbara Walters type. She's very famous. And she makes fun of cartoonists and comic strips on the air. She says they're kind of stupid. They're kind of, you know, juvenile. Mm. Harry Guardino is a comic strip illustrator. And so he creates a character in his comic strip that's based on her, making fun of her, pretty much going, F you for making fun of me and my job.
I did not know that.
So they get together. And it's literally a perfect late 70s, early 80s storyline, because the idea is, does she want to give up her career and become a housewife, or is it that the job takes priority over the romances? Can you have your cake and eat it too?
Right.
Right. The score, Peter Felicia mentions this in one of his great essays on Woman of the Year, that the show is very angry. That those, a lot of the music in the show is very angry, and I think that's one of the reasons why you don't see it so much. Because okay. We have such song titles as "I Told You So," "It Isn't Working."
Wow. Okay.
And one that's just, there's no like subtlety. It's just called "Shut Up, Gerald." So the score is
"Shut Up, Gerald."
Yeah, that's it. So Peter brings up a really, really good point, which is the score, it does have an angry tone.
There's some angst
to
there.
It. But we also have such songs like "Sometimes a Day Goes By."
Oh, "Sometimes a Day Goes By."
Which I think is the most romantic song Canada and Ebb have ever
beautiful
written.
Beautiful song.
Right? And then what became the centerpiece of the show and the reason to go see the show was a song called "The Grass Is Always Greener." Mm. So to understand what this is Lauren Bacall has an ex-husband in the show who she talks about but we never see. And then finally her ex-husband is now married to a new woman, Marilyn Cooper, who was not a big Broadway star, who should have been a big Broadway star. Her last thing before Woman of the Year is understudying Dorothy Loudon in Ballroom.
Which I that's crazy.
So she had a big hit with I can get it for you wholesale.
Uh-huh.
Or is that what I'm thinking of? Or what makes Sammy run? Oh God, I'm confusing the two. Anyway, I think it's I Can Get It For You Wholesale.
It is. Yeah.
Has a big part in that. She's gonna be a big star, never comes to fruition. So in the late 70s, all she's doing is she's being an understudy. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you would have assumed she would have had a bigger career at this point. She steals this show. She plays Lauren Bacall's ex-husband's new wife, who's a housewife, who comes out in a house coat and curlers. And she, Lauren Bacall, comes to the house because she's like, I want to know what makes your marriage work. Mm. And Marilyn Cooper goes, my marriage work? I want to know why you're such a big star.
That's
and how you
so
get
wonderful. Oh,
and it's literally a song saying that the grass is always greener. It is a duet where the two ladies just fucking sat on kitchen stools and stole the show.
Fred Ebb at his best.
It's Fred Ebb at his best. It's Lauren Bacall and Marilyn Cooper at their best. There's two things of it on YouTube that you can see. One is Marilyn Cooper and Raquel Welch doing it, which is great. But there's also a bootleg version of Marilyn Cooper and Lauren Bacall doing it in the show. And it really is hysterical. And thank God Marilyn Cooper actually wins the best featured actress Tony Award. And she has a great quote. She's like, I've always been a poker player, and my feeling is the longer you stay at the table, eventually you'll come up with a winning hand.
I didn't know that she said that, because I've always compared the business to poker playing. And I'm not trying to compare myself.
No, of course.
Because there is an element of, yes, there's talent in poker as well, and just like there's in show business, but a lot of it is just getting good cards, you know?
Absolutely.
And where opportunity meets talent, I think that's, wow, okay.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And she wins Best Featured Actress. This is so fascinating to me. Lauren Bacall wins Best Actress. The show wins Best Score. Mm-hmm. The show wins Best Book. It doesn't win Best Musical.
What did?
42nd Street. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fascinating?
That's interesting.
You would think that it would, if it's going to be the best book and the best score, doesn't that naturally mean it's going to be the best musical?
Usually they go hand in hand.
Not this time.
Uh-uh.
It was 42nd Street.
Isn't that interesting?
So, Woman of the Year. And then after she leaves Bacall, they put in a whole bunch of different stars to take her place. So Raquel Welch takes over, and then Debbie Reynolds takes over, and Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie does it on tour.
Oh, my goodness.
And the famous story is that Lauren Bacall was so cheap that when she left, Raquel Welch went into her dressing room and everything was missing, including the toilet paper.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lauren Bacall took everything when she left.
All of it.
So I think Woman of the Year has a really fun score. There's a great YouTube clip. It's about 13 minutes long of them, how a number gets choreographed and how people audition for Woman of the Year. So it's a really – you haven't seen this?
No.
It's them doing the number One of the Boys. One of the Boys, and we'll post it. I think Don Pippin, who music directed, I think he even shows up for a hot second in the clips, looking young and sprightly as his wonderful self. But yeah, so there's a couple of little backstage footage of Lauren Bacall, returning back to Broadway.
That's really
so,
cool.
And this is the last musical she does.
Yeah,
she only does two, and she wins the Tony Award both times. And for somebody who wasn't really the best singer, it's amazing. Two times she wins that Tony Award.
Two original musicals that she basically, they were formed around her.
Yep.
And that's pretty impressive.
That Grass Is Always Greener is hysterical.
God, I love Marilyn
Cooper. Sometimes A Day Goes By will break your heart.
Truly.
I'm going to be honest with you. Harry Guardino, who we also know from Anyone Can Whistle,
right,
is not the best singer. Mm. So the song I don't think gets the full scope it deserves. Right. But if you listen to the Sometimes A Day Goes By from And the World Goes Round, where they pair it with...
I Don't Remember You, right?
And it's Bob Cuccioli,
like duet, yeah,
and Jim Walton,
yeah,
doing it together.
Oh,
and they sound so good. Bob Cuccioli, Jim Walton doing it. It sounds great. Listen to that version. So there we go. Mine is Woman of the Year. What's yours?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, I'm going to tie it in.
Oh, my God.
I switched halfway through this because I have one other one that I'm going to talk about later. But this has common denominator, Peter Stone. He wrote the book to this forgotten musical. This is a musical. I want to celebrate not the musical, but the cast recording of this show.
Okay.
Because that's the easiest way to get access to it, because you're never going to see a production of this show. This show is not done anywhere. I think most people might be even shocked that this is even a musical. But Peter Stone did write the book. It's from 1961. Was not a hit. The gentleman, I'll give you another hint. The gentleman who wrote this show, there were two of them, and they are billed as music and lyrics, and they wrote both, kind of like Avenue Q type deal. But this is the first time that you're going to get it now, that they did not write a show that was based on someone else's music. Like Kismet, for example, is based on the themes of Borodin.
Okay, so this is Wright and Forrest.
This would be George Forrest and Robert Wright, who also did Grand Hotel.
Is this Keane?
This is Keane.
Tell me about Keane.
Because
I see the name come up all the time, and I don't know anything about the show except that it stars Alfred Drake.
Well, Keane is kind of really interesting for a couple reasons. The first, like I mentioned, is that these writers... Now, I will just give a little context. George Forrest and Robert Wright, who wrote for decades, they wrote kind of more arched musicals, you might say, like Kismet or The Grand Waltz. And they wrote for strong singers, but they often would take classical composer and write, like Johann Strauss is what The Last Waltz was about. And so they went through the catalog of a composer and listened to everything they had, and then from that they would extract melodies and they would create a musical. Like with Borodin, the famous composer, that's how they got those Kismet songs, like Take My Hand, I'm a Stranger, and that's already been written before. It's in a classical piece. So this was a musical in 61 that they did all on their own. They actually wrote their own music and lyrics, which I think as composers and writers, they actually have a really good voice.
Yeah.
It starred Alfred Drake of Oklahoma and so many other shows and Kiss Me, Kate. And it's based on the true story of Edmund Kean, the famous Shakespearean actor of the early 1800s. And just like a two-sentence context of this, you know, during the this is the age of King George III, the Mad King George, who there was a more laissez-faire world before Queen Victoria took over in England. And there was much, you know, I don't want to say debauchery, but there was a lot of fun to be had. However, actors of that time were considered third-class citizens. They could not vote. They were not. They were like vagabonds. They were not. And so Edmund Kean comes along and becomes the first like famous actor that did Shakespeare, who there people would be hawking his picture in the streets, and he was a famous star. And yet, when he was off stage, he was like, he couldn't vote. He was nobody, you know? And so there's that dichotomy. And so the musical dealt with this dichotomy of how can the audience love you so much, and yet when you are yourself and not being a Kean, you're just nobody. You're like, it's like what happens when you leave the stage door on Broadway and everyone you sign autographs, and then you go walk back two blocks away and the cabbie honks at you and says, get the F out of my way. You know what I mean? Like, but it's that sort of thing. And it's about, he was a sort of famous for being, the way he dealt with his lifestyle was that he drank a lot and he was a playboy. And so the musical deals with his relationships and him dealing with that social structure, you can say. Mm. The score is stunning. It is definitely a gem of the 50s type musical. I can see why it probably wasn't a big hit, because it did have a very Elizabethan feel. The orchestrations are very like harpsichord and all of that. But there are Sweet Danger is a song from this show that is, if you, tenors and sopranos, if you're thinking, I want to do Stranger in Paradise, no, don't do that. Do Sweet Danger. It's so sexy and beautiful. There's a great, Lee Venora is the soprano on this recording. And I was just talking to our friend Kevin Daly about her, because she's still alive. And this woman was a great operatic soprano who did some musicals like Kismet, Kean. But then she did New York City Opera, San Francisco Opera. But her voice is like stunning. She sings this song called Willow Willow that is like a gorgeous soprano piece. I just think that the music is so original and smartly done that it's really worth a listen, you guys.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really worth it. And I'm a huge fan. Jack Cole, who I talked about in a Favorite Things, not only choreographed but also directed this piece. And I think that's pretty much all I need to say about it. It's just really worth a listen on the old.
I've never listened to it, and now I'm going to.
You really should. I think you really enjoy it. It has it kind of feels a little like Oliver bit with that era of that of sound, the orchestration. But what it does have going for it, much like that, one of my first favorite things was Robert and Elizabeth, that musical, where it is, yes, it has arched singing. When I say arched, I just mean more longer lines and a little more highbrow. And yet it's catchy. It's catchy.
I cannot wait to go home and listen to it. I'm very excited.
Oh, cool.
So Kean.
Yeah, Kean.
And?
Kean.
Woman of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Listen to them both.
I don't know
both.
Where I am right now.
Listen
I
to them.
I get so excited about talking that I like.
So there we go. So Kean and Woman of the Year. I am woman.
Hear me roar.
That's literally how she starts the show. I am woman.
And then other Mormons like, Jesus Christ.
And like Peter was saying, some really angry, aggressive song titles.
What was the other one? Shut Up.
One's called Shut Up, Gerald. It Isn't Working Out.
Oh, God.
And Who the Fuck Are You Staring at Me? Oh. That's Cut Out of Town.
Oh, right. Yeah, they
thought it made the character too soft.
Yeah.
So, Woman of the Year and Kean, let us know what you think. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah, indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Do you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was going
to
do
climbing. No Robert Goulet. Like,
no. Can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar. Tonight's only at the Mirage. Sorry. Well, lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villachez?
Who is Hervé Villachez?
Oh, my God.
I fell for it again.
You fell for it.
That wasn't even the script.
The man has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen Sondheim.
Right, but I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway,
oh, yes.
Guys, help us out.
Please. Thanks, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.